Our sermon text this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was in university, I was on an intramural basketball team. We weren't very good. We did have a lot of fun, and I thought we had a pretty good name. We were a group of Christian friends, and we called ourselves the Holy Rollers. And that's an older term, and it's more or less used by those outside the church to refer to what they consider religious fanatics inside the church. We thought we'd just go with it. The language of holiness, it's not real common in the culture, and when the language does show up, it is usually in a negative, with a negative connotation, like holy rollers, or the phrase holier than thou does show up in our culture and used to refer to somebody who's considered judgmental, who looks down their nose at others from their lofty perch. So the language of holiness is not that common and a bit fraught out in the wider culture. And even in the church, it's language that we may or may not be totally comfortable or familiar with. We sing about it. Some traditions talk about it quite a bit. Some traditions are named after it. Have you ever heard of holiness, Pentecostalism, a whole tradition, or the Wesleyan Methodist holiness tradition, as it's sometimes called? But for some of us, when we talk about being holy, it may sound like what it means is like the opposite of fun, or something that is at war with our humanity, our humanness, our earthy creatureliness, and that the call to be holy is to be something different. And we may think of Puritans with their black suits and hats on, or monks living out in a desert who have escaped the world so they can be holy. Or we might just think this is what certain special kind of Christians strive for or attain, but is it really for the average normal Christian? But the reality is that holiness permeates the biblical vision of the Christian life, as we see in this benediction that we're focusing on this morning in 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, the word holiness isn't in the benediction, but the word sanctify is. And it's the same language, same word that, from Greek, that's coming across in English as either sanctify or make holy, sanctification, holiness. We're talking about really the same thing, as we'll touch on a bit more in a moment or two. But I wonder for you, when you do hear this language of holiness and sanctification, is it something that draws you in? Something that you say, I want that, I want more of that? Or is it something that scares you a little or repels you a little, or maybe just raises questions for you? This benediction we're looking at this morning, as we just do a short summer series on a few biblical benedictions, gives us an opportunity to think then about this whole area of holiness or sanctification. It gives us a lens for thinking about the concept more broadly, but then we also want to see a few specific things that this benediction tells us about it. So first, on the meaning of sanctification, and like I said, it's the same word group as holiness, the same word, in fact. So if you look earlier in this very letter, chapter 3 of Thessalonians, Paul says, this is God's will for you, your sanctification. And then as he goes on, as he expounds what that means, he says, your holiness. And it's the exact same word, it's just being rendered two different ways in English. It's the same word group. We're talking about sanctification or holiness. There's the noun form, or to make holy or to sanctify is the verbal form of this same word. And it gets rendered in other ways as well, as again we'll see in a moment. And this idea of sanctification, it really has two dimensions, intricately related, but there are just two distinct dimensions to it that really flow from our understanding of how God is holy. God is holy in the sense of being other, separate, set apart on a plane completely of his own. And God is holy as the one set apart and other. He is the one who is absolutely, perfectly, morally pure. Now, when we talk about holiness or the sanctification of people, really these two senses apply. To be sanctified is to be set apart for God, to be dedicated to God, and therefore to belong to God. And belonging to God, then to be sanctified means to reflect God's character, to be like God in whatever way we can, reflecting his purity. One of these, the set apart part of it, refers to, we can say it's a relational reality. It's positional. It's our identity. It's our status. If you are set apart from God and you belong to God, and the other has to do with our conduct, our actions, how we live. And it's really important we get the order right. The first is foundational. We don't try to be holy in order that we can secure ourselves a place in God's family, that he will then set us apart. It's that we're set apart, and that's your identity. If you are a follower of Jesus, in a true, 100% true sense, you are holy. You're sanctified. You're set apart from God. And then you can hear and need to hear the call to actually be holy, to live in keeping with your identity. They don't always match up. So, for example, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, it's a classic example. At the beginning of his letter to his first letter to the Corinthians, he calls them the saints. Same word, the sanctified, the holy. It's the same word now translated as the saints to the Corinthians. You read on in that letter, and you'll see, of all the New Testament letters, in many different ways, a lot of them were not living holy, sanctified lives. And so there's this tension here. Paul says, you are the sanctified, the holy, the set apart. And a lot of what he's doing in his letter is trying to expose the ways in which they're not living into this reality. So this is what we need to hear. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have been set apart for God, you belong to him. Therefore, be who you are. Live into the reality of who God has called you to be. We can also, as we're trying to just give a little primer on this doctrine of sanctification, look at a couple definitions from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Question 35 asks, what is sanctification? Defines it like this: it is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man, the whole person, after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Very good definition. A simpler one that also gets to the heart of it, from a commentary on Thessalonians: a person dedicated to God, that is sanctified in the relational sense, a person dedicated to God should act in a manner consistent with the character of God. And I like that both definitions are good. We need the longer, more in-depth theological definition, and we need a simpler definition that grounds this thing we're talking about in everyday language and gives us a sense that what we are talking about is not what monks do when they escape from the world and live in the desert. It's what everyday, regular Christians do as they walk with God. This is our calling. And really, what sanctification is, it is growth in the Christian life. It is growth towards the goal for which God saved us and called us in the first place. God created us to know Him, to bear His image, to reflect His nature in the world. We've fallen in sin. That image is distorted in us. God has sent His Son to save us, to bring us back into right relationship with Him through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and then begins a process of transforming us, renewing us in the image of His Son. That is sanctification, growth in Christ-likeness over the course of our lives. So this holiness, it's not some foreign concept. It's the everyday stuff of the Christian life, growing in Christ-likeness. We can think of this sanctification within the context of the wider doctrine of salvation. This is review for some, a little primer, maybe though new for you, but I think a helpful summary to relate it to justification and glorification. So we are justified as a first step in our salvation, whereby when you put your faith in Jesus and His death on the cross for your sins and His righteous life, it is your sins are forgiven and His righteousness is given to you as a gift, and you are saved. You are saved, declared righteous, and saved from the penalty of sin. So a completed fact. You're justified. Then looking down the road, one day you will be glorified. You will be saved from the very presence of sin. And in the meantime, in between, you are being sanctified. And so you are being saved. And saved from the power of sin. And the Bible speaks in all these terms. You have been saved. You will be saved. You are being saved. Sanctification, this ongoing process of being saved, involves putting off sin. There's this negative side of it, battling sin, learning to resist temptation, learning to identify besetting sins, and as the old-timey language would call it, the mortification of sin, putting it to death. When we sin, it means confessing and breathing in the grace of God. There's also the positive side, is putting on Christ. Put off the old self, put on the new self in Christ, and all Christ-like virtues, your love for God and love and joy and peace and patience, all the fruit of the Spirit. This is what it means. This is what the process looks like. We're in a battle. We're being saved from the power of sin. We don't win every battle. You're not going to be surprised to hear that. Everybody knows that. And yet, by God's grace, we can continue on progressively to fight this battle, to win, and to grow, putting off the old self, putting on the new. So there's the primer, the summary of this doctrine. And then this benediction also gives us a few specific nuances, a few specific takeaways that are helpful to grab onto and to take to heart as those who are being sanctified. And the first is this, there are three of these we'll highlight. The first is that God's work of sanctification in us touches every area of our lives. May God sanctify you completely. Now, completely has a couple senses. In English, we can use it in a few senses. For one, it can mean wholly, like the whole thing. And it can also mean like totally. Like finally. It can point to the completion, the fulfillment of something. So just to paint an example, say you're asking someone to mow your lawn this afternoon. You say, I need you to mow the lawn, please. They say, well, what part of it? And you say, the whole thing, the complete lawn. You may not put it like that, but if you did, it would be accurate. I want you to mow the complete thing. And I want you to have it completed by this afternoon. The word used here in 1 Thessalonians 5 for completely is actually, in the Greek, it's a compound word that really takes the word for holy, the whole thing, and this word that points to like the completion of something and puts it together. It's a compound word, so it speaks to both dimensions of completely, and both are important when it comes to our sanctification. In terms of like the whole person, that's what we're focusing on here first. Paul says that this sanctification touches the whole self. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. This, Paul's not trying to give a breakdown of the constitution of a human so much as to say, like, your entire being, God wants to transform into the image of Christ. But it does speak to the reality that, as we were saying a few weeks ago, that we have an inner person, and we have we're embodied, so we have a bodily existence too. We're an integrated person, but you can make a distinction between the inside and the outside, and God wants to work on every part of you. In your spirit, that you would increasingly walk with God, a deeper and deeper walk in prayer and in worship, in close communion with God as you follow Jesus and the power of the Spirit. Your inner life being transformed, your thought world being transformed as you're renewed by God's word, as God has revealed himself in the word, and you're learning who he is and loving who he is and learning his ways, your affections and desires being transformed, your priorities and values, what matters to you, what you're living for. We don't start with this all sorted out. We grow into it as God increasingly sanctifies us, our spirit and our soul and our body, our behaviors. We're to grow in godliness, how we treat others. Your sexual conduct, that's a big one. And back to chapter 3 of this letter, when Paul has an extended discussion on sanctification, it's mostly he's addressing the area of sexuality and sexual immorality and urging the people to avoid it. It was a big deal in that Gentile culture he was writing to. And a lot of the Christians he had writing to had mixed up lives in this area. And he has to call them to growth in Christlikeness. We live in a world that's just as rampant with sexual temptation and acceptance of all kinds of conduct and attitudes that are contrary to God's will as revealed in Scripture. And so we bring that area before God as well for transformation. How we handle food and drink and entertainment, recreation. How you steward your body. So in all these areas, God is looking to transform us, to teach us to say no to the flesh, to the world, to the devil, to say yes to Jesus' way. We're not getting into a lot of the details here this morning. You've got a wonderful opportunity every day to get into the details, and we do get into the details, but simply today want to make this more general point that this is what God wants to work in every part of you, a holistic sanctification. That's the goal. There are different ways we could want to be or be willing to be sanctified and like part of us, but not the whole of us. So some people on one end of the spectrum might say, all you really need to do is love. God is love. God just wants us to love. And that's true, and that's a good desire. But then some can also say, it doesn't really matter how I live or how, like the kind of behaviors we engage in, our sexual conduct, our recreation. As long as the love is there, that's what matters. And so that's a way of saying, like, if our heart gets sanctified or is right, then the rest of us, the body maybe isn't so important. And on the other end of the spectrum, one could have a squeaky clean outside life, like your conduct is very holy looking. Maybe like never been in a movie theater, never touched a drop of alcohol. These are like kind of an older generation, some of the hallmarks of godly behavior. And if that's something that like you've never been in a theater or touched a drop of alcohol, that's no problem. That's not a bad thing. But and many like that are very godly people. But it's very possible to have a very upright life on the outside, and the heart is far from God. Jesus said this himself. Remember about the Pharisees? He said, you're like whitewashed tombs. It looks real nice on the outside, and inside it's full of dead men's bones. Just take that as a warning, not to be paranoid, but and we won't stray. We'll be on the right track when we realize God wants to transform the whole, your whole self from the inside, from your heart working its way outside. Your relationship with him transformed desires and affections to your conduct. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be blameless. Not perfect, but growing in a Godward direction. Now, the second takeaway here has to do with the second sense of the word completed, or completely. That is that God's work of sanctification in you will one day be fully completed. You will reach the end goal, total transformation into the image of Christ. Now, it's not going to happen in this life. We can take a breath. None of us is perfect. We spend a lot of time looking at others and being pretty critical of them and judging. There's a right way to see a speck in your brother's eye, though you have to watch out for the plank in your own. We don't want to be lax and let down the fact that God's calling us together to holiness, but we need to be patient and gracious with one another because none of us is perfect. We don't arrive there in this life. Some traditions, referred to like the holiness traditions, have believed in a doctrine of entire sanctification, believing that it's possible in this life. It's not a bad desire that they have. It's just not realistic, neither in practice nor according to Scripture itself. I mean, here's a really important verse that I think really seals this. So, 1 John 3, verse 2, it says, when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And this reflects the overall biblical picture, that it is, we're undergoing a process of transformation, and somehow, some way, it is only when we finally see Jesus and are with him forever and delivered from the very presence of sin that this work of transformation will be completed. You will be always you who God made you uniquely to be, but fully renewed according to the image of Christ. Should never lead us to a complacency where you say, well, you know, I got saved and I believe Jesus is, I'm going to be with Jesus after I die, and between now and then, I don't know, I'm just kind of living for myself. And you might not put it so bluntly, but it is possible to live like that, not really be living deeply for God in the moment. But God's will for us is that the day you meet Jesus face to face, that is the culmination of a lifelong process. It's the final step, and now it is complete. This is the goal. It's not a perfect upward trajectory, but progressive growth to that goal. And a final takeaway from this benediction is that God's work of sanctification is, wait for it, God's work of sanctification. Strictly redundant, I know, but it's important to emphasize this. There are two sides to the coin of being holy. On the one hand, absolutely, there's a part we have to play. We cooperate, we respond to God's grace. And Scripture says this in many places. Here's just some New Testament stuff. 1 Peter 1, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Hebrews 12, make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy. I mean, did you hear that? We believe in salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and the New Testament itself says, make every effort to be holy. 2 Corinthians 7 calls us to bring holiness to completion in the fear of God. So yes, there is a time and a place, and often are we need to be called by God himself to be holy. And yet, here's what this benediction's emphasizing. Foundationally, before anything we do to pursue holiness, this is God's work in us. May God himself sanctify you completely. He is faithful. He will surely do it. There's a striving that's appropriate in the Christian life, but it must always be grounded foundationally in God's work in us. This is what we need to know, that the one who began a good work in you, he will bring it to completion. That while you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, God is the one who is at work in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. That he gives us everything we need, a way out of temptation, a transformed heart to put sin to death, and a desire to put on Christ. The Holy Spirit enabling all this. And he promises to complete this work, that we be blameless in the day of Christ. And what does that mean for us? Well, it means this. The fact that this is God's work means you can rest. There's a striving, but it's rooted in rest. Paradoxical, but true. You can rest confident. You can rest assured. You can sleep at night. You can know that when you stumble in sin, God's grace is there to forgive you, to restore you. His mercies are new every morning. You need that every morning to continue on this path. You can rest assured and confident that when you go through periods of stagnation, it feels like you're spinning your tires spiritually, or trials in life and life gets difficult. You can know God has not abandoned you. He's working in all things for your good and to use everything in your life to grow you and renew you in the image of Jesus. He who called you to himself, he is faithful. He will do it. Amen. Let's pray.